The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Vonta Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Most of the time.
Foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say. That was Kate Scott on that rejoin, and she was talking about Bonte and Shasky. It's Sam Lubman and Jake Hutchinson here on the Morning Roast on this wonderful Christmas Eve. And Jonathan Kuming is gonna be traded. How'd you like that, Jake? Is that good singing there?
It was singing,
yeah. I guess we could get very liberal on the term of good or acceptable there, but yeah, that's kind of where we're at here on the Morning Roast. I am of this belief that we are in the final days of Jonathan Kuminga. Why do I believe that, Jake Hutchinson? It's simple. He is a restricted free agent this summer, and I believe that the player that Jonathan Kuminga thinks he is, the player that Jonathan Kuminga thinks he should be paid as, is very different than what the Warriors have for those answers. We're talking about how sometimes there's a fit, sometimes there's not. We've seen discourse between Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors coaching staff in the past. You know, I mentioned the complaining to CJ Holmes last year. And then, remember, then he got that haircut, too, right afterwards. I went down to Chase Center that day. I was at the Warriors game that night, and I saw this guy come out. I'm like, you know, no dreads, bald head, basically, a shaved head is whatever. And I'm like, that's not JK, is it? Oh my God, that's JK. Because, you know, when someone gets a big haircut, they look a little different at first. So there's like a split second, like, who is that? And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, that's Jonathan Kuminga with a new haircut after a fresh trip to the coach's office to complain about him. That's
yeah, I still can't get over that. I still think that's the funniest thing in the world, saying it's just like the ultimate NBA thing of being player who's lost faith in his head coach. It's
only
just,
in the association.
It's so ridiculous. I kind of love it. I think with Kuminga, I would love to know who he thinks he is as a player, like who his comp is. Like, does he think he's
I'm horrible at player comp. So
I am too. Yeah. I am too. But like, does he like Dominique? Like, is that who he wants to be? I'm genuinely curious, like what his aspirations are, what his mold is, what he thinks he is and what he thinks he deserves. And I'm all for paying players. But I do think it'll be interesting because there are not a ton of teams. Again, I know it is the most boring thing in the world to talk CBA stuff, but there are not a ton of teams that have money to throw around. You've got the Nets. You've got, you know, maybe the Hornets and a couple other teams. And so it's tough. It's tough for teams to actually, like, levy a substantial offer his way. And so I'm interested whether the Warriors say, all right, let's just get what we can for him right now. And what is that? I don't think they would just ship him off for a first. I don't think that makes any sense for them.
No, I think they would. They're always going to get a player back. So the way I look at it is, he's going to be hitting restricted free agency this summer. And he has a price point that he's going to be looking for. I don't believe the Warriors want to give him the money that he's looking for. I mean, we love talking money here in the Bay Area. But it's NBA free agency. Every year we see this happen where a guy pops up with a number next to him and a team, and you're just like, where the heck did that? Who's giving this guy that kind of money? Like, I think that's what's going to happen. Kuminga's going to hit restricted free agency. Someone's going to throw a ridiculous contract at him. You know, I know you say there's not enough teams with cap space. There's a long way to go between now and the summer. There's the trade deadline. There's the buyout market. There will be teams that clear up cap space. So I do expect that to happen. I would be very shocked if that did not happen. But there will be, I think, teams that want to throw the bag at Kuminga. You know, as Bonte likes to say, there's always a sucker.
But I wonder, what do they think he is? You know, what does the NBA think Jonathan Kuminga is? Like,
I'm not really sure on that one. But basically, this is all a long winded way of saying that someone's going to throw a bag at Kuminga. The Warriors aren't going to match it. So I think in that situation, it behooves the Warriors to just, you know, trade him at the deadline, because if they believe that he is going to, you know, walk at the end of this year, or if they're going to let him walk, then you want to get some sort of value for him. So that's why I think he's on the block. I look at the Zion trade, and I think Bobby Marks suggested on NBA Today last week, he suggested Wiggins, Looney, and Pajemski for Zion. You know, if you could do that trade without giving up JK, blah, blah, blah. I would almost wonder if it would be Wiggins, JK, and Pods for Zion in this situation. Now, you hate to see Wiggins go, because Wiggins, I think, is you're seeing a lot better performance from Andrew Wiggins this year. And so that would kind of suck to lose him. But the reason I like a Zion trade is I do believe it's the best, I believe, star caliber player that is available on the trade market right now that we know of. I feel like the Giannis door is slammed shut right now.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that. I just don't see that happening.
It was a fun dream, but I think it was always just that, a dream. So I don't see that happening. So it's just, that's just how I look at it when it comes to Kuminga, because it's just, I don't think he's ever going to be that dude for the Warriors, at least not anytime soon. As long as things are constructed the way they are, you know, we talked, is he a three or a four? I think he wants to be at the four. I believe his future is probably at the four, because I think you're right. He does not have the shooting to be the three, but you got Draymond blocking him at the four.
One of the things that has been mentioned in terms of, okay, why wouldn't the Warriors trade him even if they could get something, is there's like a fear potentially from ownership that, okay, he goes elsewhere and he becomes a better player. To me, like, if you think that, then you keep him, right? If you think he's going to, or you just think like, oh, he's not the right fit in your system, but he's going to go somewhere else and he's going to become this great player. I think that's a fearful, non-productive way to operate, if that is indeed how they're approaching it. To me, like, you need a clear identity for what you expect. How do you expect to win games? They have all these models, and you know, they talked about it at the start of the season that they modeled it out and they expected themselves to be better. I think a lot of those models included D'Anthony Melton, and it would be a totally different conversation if D'Anthony Melton was here.
That's a wrench.
But that's also why he was available, because he's a really productive guy who's had a lot of injuries, and they took that chance and it backfired, and that's what happens. Yeah. You know, it was a chance worth taking, and they made some great maneuvers. But with JK, again, it's a little bit tired, because it's just like, all right, he's a young guy who's productive, but he doesn't quite fit what the Warriors are. But can they actually get an upgrade? Maybe not. Maybe. Do you just take a chance anyway because you're going to get it? I don't know. I think the Warriors might match, depending on what his price tag is. I think if it's 30 or below, I think they might be interested in that. If it's above, it'll be... I'm not sure.
See, that's the... I would not be shocked. I am anticipating some team out there that is very irresponsible with their checkbook throwing a $30 million-plus deal at Jonathan Kuminga.
If you're the Wizards and your team is absolute garbage.
Yeah, or the Nets, and you're just looking for a guy who can score a lot of points for you. You know, it's like the chips they serve you at Chili's before dinner. Like, it's good, but it's just empty calories, and it just spoils your appetite overall. Like, if I don't know if that's a drop, but if that's kind of what a team is looking for Jonathan Kuminga to be, yeah, he'll have those opportunities. Hopefully Kuminga has, you know, grander expectations for himself as a basketball player. But I just, for where the Warriors are at, what they're trying to do, I don't know exactly what their cap situation is next year. Who even knows what that is? The NBA money is always just so funny there. But I just, right now, I just don't see Kuminga. If the plan is to maximize Steph Curry's window the next couple years here, and I have a question about, you know, the desperation of teams winning championships. We'll get to that later in the show. If that is, you know, the plan is definitely go all in I don't know if Jonathan Kuminga is the 1A scorer, that the sidekick essentially that Steph needs to get to that level. And if you don't think he's going to be that, then I just, if the ceiling for Kuminga is coming off the bench role player, six man type, then that's not going to be enough to get as is to get Steph to that championship level again. So that's where I feel like moving him becomes the best option there. So really quick, this segment is sponsored by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is the Morning Roast. It's not Bonte and Shasky. It's Sam Lubman and Jake Hutchinson talking Warriors here. We got Brian Baldinger will be joining us at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Talk about that really depressing Niners loss to the Miami Dolphins on Sunday.
I thought it was beautiful. They entered the void. They entered the void, the black hole of the season, the meaningless. I thought it was very fitting for where the season's at.
We'll find maybe if there is some meaning to be had in these final two games of the season for the Niners. So we will switch to Niners in a second, though, but we are going to go to the calls because we are about the people here at 95.7 The Game. And Jake, we're going to go to one of our truly top-tier legendary callers. He's got one of the best calls of this show's history. Did not win Call of the Year, but it was nominated for Call of the Year. He was our 2023 Rookie Roaster of the Year, a 2024 Roaster of the Year nominee. That's our brother Nick in San Jose. What's going on, brother?
Ludman, I love your hair, dude. Great to put a face to the voice, and I just love being part of the 95.7 community.
Hell yeah, man. It was awesome to meet you at the Doobie Awards. Really quick, how much fun did you have the Doobies on Friday?
Oh, dude, it was so great, man. I told my best buddies. My son was following it. He went to the restroom in his bathroom a few times just to listen to it on his little transistor radio.
He's got the old transistor? OG, Nick. I love that.
Hey, look, here's my concern. Number one, the Warriors are not entertaining right now. They are just not entertaining, man. I'm not even going to compare them to the trifecta of when Durant was there, but they're not entertaining, number one. Curry is obviously hurt. He can't even break down big guys. But my concern with Curry is his comments in the summer and his body language right now. And I wasn't really upset about Klay leaving, but in retrospect, Klay brought gravity, and he was a guy that had no conscience, was willing to take a shot. Other than Curry, who can we rely on, Sam, to make a shot at the end of the game? And my last 2 points, I don't want to repeat, but you guys are right. Kuminga is not even worth $28 million. Trade him. He's an athletic freak, but he doesn't understand the game defensively, and he's going to get incrementally better. And Zion Williamson is an unprofessional player. He can't even hire a cook to cook for him every day. I don't understand his weight problem. Why can't we get a big or two that's impactful like the Mavericks did at the trade deadline? What do you guys think of that? Because, look, we're a 42-win team! I love you guys, man. It's just bad, dude. It's bad, man.
Have a Merry Christmas, Nick. Really appreciate your call there. That is Nick in San Jose. Always brings the energy there. Yeah, I think Nick brings a good point. I mean, there's a dullness to the Warriors right now because, Jake, you know, a movie is not as fun when you know right away how it's going to end, and it feels like that's kind of what the Warriors are looking like right now. It's going to be a so-so start to these games. They're going to battle out in the middle quarters. You know, they look great in that third quarter last night. You're thinking, all right, you know, third quarter dub sets them up, but they were trailing going into the fourth quarter. The Warriors are, let me make sure I have this right, 0-9 when trailing after three quarters.
Is that bad?
I think that's pretty bad. I think you want to have at least a one in that win column. They're at minimum
that's
one.
That's like the inverse Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, God. it's basically, the Warriors are basically pulling a Kyle Shanahan, in which they can't come back in the fourth quarter. You never want to go full Kyle Shanahan in that regard.
I think there's a few things, right? He mentioned they don't have like reliable shooters in the fourth quarter. I think you look at it, one of the other things, obviously, you know, Nembhard playing Steph really well, but Buddy Hield goes silent, and he has this habit of he'll put up 10 or 13, and then he goes silent, but he keeps chucking. And when Buddy's going, this team goes. And when Buddy doesn't, and he's, you know, that's why he's available for relatively cheap, is because when Buddy's hot, it's great. When he starts missing shots, it's just he's not providing anything defensively. He's a little chaotic. He's kind of turning the ball over. He's, you know, And he does take the shots when he's there, and you appreciate that. But it's so brutal for them when he's not going. And I will say, at least on the bright side, I'm surprised they beat Minnesota. I thought it was going to end up like how it did last night.
I think we were all expecting it to end up like that.
And if Curry hits that three, we might have a different story today. And it's just that one-point game, and then they can't make free throws and all that. I will say, this has been a pretty brutal stretch. I think it's 11. It was 10 or 11 games in a row of teams with winning records, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah,
this was a gauntlet that they went through, and, you know, they did not beat the gauntlet.
That's the problem. The teams you're facing in this gauntlet, the Houstons, the Minnesotas, the Dallases, the Minnesotas again, the Memphis, they played Minnesota three times this month.
So now we find out, okay, you played a bunch of mediocre teams and you win. You play a bunch of good teams and you lose. Tells you the reality, which I think we all should have expected and got probably a little bit too excited, is they are average. They are mediocre, and if they finish in these closing games, they would be better than that, but they don't have the pieces outside of Steph to really do that.
When Buddy Hield is kind of like your safety valve here, and actually, before I even get into that Buddy Hield thought, I want to tell everyone that you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM HD1 in San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. So now we're legally a radio station again. If Buddy Hield is your safety blanket, like, I think I saw, like, the Warriors are undefeated when Buddy Hield scores at least 18 points.
Right.
He had only 13 last night, so Buddy shorted this team for a win by 5 points here. But when Buddy Hield is your safety blanket, like, Buddy Hield, he's a volume 3-point shooter. He's kind of like a store brand Steph Curry, so to speak, in terms of that 3-point shooting. There's a reason why Buddy Hield bounced around the league a lot. You know, guys who shoot that well, the Buddy Hield revolution that we saw at the beginning of the year, we thought, oh, the Warriors figured something out with Buddy Hield. He just fits the system. Yeah, you got, you know, the Kings fans losing their minds because they're seeing a Buddy Hield they never seen before. Now it's the Buddy Hield saga has come to its, you know, usual conclusion. He pops up into a new place, hits some threes, everyone thinks he's figured it out, then he becomes Buddy Hield again, and, well, here we are wondering why Buddy Hield can't be the Warriors' safety blanket, and we're banging our heads on the wall for even wondering why we're thinking that.
I mean, the reality of the situation is that the Warriors just don't have enough wings to help Steph, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their best three-point shooter on the season right now is Andrew Wiggins at 42.6%. You got Buddy behind him around 42%. A lot of that's from those early games where he's just going off and setting himself up. Curry's at 40, and then Draymond's 38%. Then you go down.
And that's actually about a good, like, Draymond's had a good year shooting.
Draymond's
three
been
too.
Great. One of my favorite stats is that I think the last year Jordan Poole was here, him and Draymond were having a battle for three-point percentage. And I think Poole overtook him at the end. But Draymond had him for a second. He's been shooting it well. But, like, Draymond is your fourth most reliable three-point shooter. That's damning. And then the fifth guy is D'Anthony Melton, who's done for the year. So that's just the reality of this team. And they tried it with Lindy Waters. And there's a reason they got Lindy Waters for cheap, basically for free. And so, you know,
he was a DMP last night.
Right, and you take your chances with him occasionally, but, like, he is what he is, which is occasionally he's going to hit some threes, but he's going to be more inconsistent than not. And then Buddy Hield is, you don't know, you just don't have enough guys, and you look at every single team they play, and you go, like, you look at the Minnesota game, the reason I'm so shocked, they have dudes up and down that roster. You go to Jaden McDaniels, you even go to Nickeil Alexander-Walker, like, even these, like, deep, Not necessarily that deep, but even their eighth, ninth guys, like, they're just large wings who can defend, who have large wingspans and are young and are athletic. And the Warriors don't have that. Their sort of wing is Slo-Mo, who I like Slo-Mo.
Also a DMP last night.
Right. But Slo-Mo is not a guy with, like, who's going to energize you. And so you've got, you know, Kuminga, who's, like, not that great defensively. It is not going to jolt you. They just don't have enough young, dynamic pieces, and that's the reality of where they're at. And they don't have the shooters outside of Steph. And
the Warriors, they're falling into. You talk about the Niners; they're in the void. The Warriors, they're kind of falling into the void right now because this is a team that's just not good enough to get out of the play-in right now.
Let's just be real. I don't think this team hits 50 wins. This team is, as Nick in San Jose said, 42 wins, 44 wins. They're going to be in that. If anything, they might fall below that and out of the play in the way they're playing right now. But there's a lot of season left. Arguably, you can say the season starts officially tomorrow. That's how most people look at the NBA season anyway.
They are, as the Giants would say, roughly break even.
Yeah, exactly. They are roughly breaking even right now. There's a lot of season left for the Warriors to figure things out. So it's not all awful right now. There is, you can theoretically make out a light at the end of the tunnel if it exists. It might be a train at the end of the tunnel.
Is there a light?
It might be a light. It might be a train. I don't know. We're going to keep going down that tunnel.
They're in the worst place to be, right?
Yeah, no, but that's what I said. Like, they're in the void. They're in the middle. They're not bad enough to be awful. They're not good enough to be great. And this is, and we were talking about, you know, how do you max out Steph Curry? I don't think you have the ability to max out Steph Curry. So we got a break coming up. Want to get these calls in here. Johnny and Modesto, hang tight. I want to hear this 49ers theme carol that you got. I'm going to get to you in a second. Really quick, though, I want to hear from Dre in Oakland. Dre, I need to know, what can Steve Kerr do better with this rotation?
A few things. I think you guys hit the nail on the head when you talk about, you know, the Warriors kind of being in that void in that mid range. But I think we could have properly identified what we needed more if Steve Kerr was doing better with this roster. I'll give you an example. For me, I would start Wiggs at the 2, Kuminga at the 3, Draymond at the 4, and Looney would be my starting 5 with Steph. And, you know, if you told me coming off the bench we got Schroeder, maybe you played some, you know, Lindy Waters, Buddy Hield for shooting, and, you know, slow-mo with Trayce Jackson-Davis, I'm not saying they're world beaters, but that sounds pretty strong to me for starting and then coming off the bench. Wiggs can play the 2. Listen, they say not enough shooting. Like you said, Wiggs is the best 3-point shooter. You always have enough shooting with Steph's on the floor. So I think Kerr could do a better job with this rotation. Pods has got to be out of the line. He's played himself out of the rotation. We have Schroeder. So we have to stop trying to be generous to Pods. I like him. I would tell him, hey, look, you stand in the corner. Where's your best shot? And you better hit those shots. But that's all you've got. No more ball handling. It is what it is. I think Kerr could have done a better job. I'm not saying we're world beaters, but he could have done a better job so we could identify exactly what we need. There's some pieces that could be used better than what they're used right now.
That's a good thought. What are your thoughts on
rotation? I would say it's like, of all times to criticize Pods, it's like he's finally actually shooting the ball well, and he's probably playing the best that he has all year. I do think they've been too reliant on him, but I think his IQ is undervalued. I think that's an interesting idea to play Wiggins at the 2 and go with a big lineup. I think you might want to have
some of your better shooting that you'll get too with Wiggins next to Steph, because
you might want to have Trayce in there as opposed to Looney. I don't know. I guess you want the athleticism off the bench with Schroeder and sort of the rim running that Trayce can provide. It's just like you're trying to
you're rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic.
That's what I mean. I know it's easy to criticize Kerr for rotations, but they simply just don't have the dudes. They don't have enough pieces to get it done. I'm not saying that's a bad idea at all. I completely think sure, try it. I think they should try Kuminga in the starting lineup and just experiment that way. But at the end of the day, like, I don't think the roster has enough to sustain it compared to some of these other teams that have gotten younger and can run and just have wings that can shoot the ball better.
Yeah, and that, again, it puts the Warriors in the same quandary that they've kind of been these last few years, where it's just, again, what's the goal? Get Steph one more ring, and it looks more and more and more like it's just not going to be happening. So we got Brian Baldinger coming up in the next segment at 7:30. So we're going to switch over to some Niners talk here. Got 2 games left on this season for the 49ers. Not a whole lot to play for here. So I believe on this nice, wet Christmas Eve, it's a time for reflection. on how this season's gone so far, because these next two games, the stakes are fairly low. They got the Lions on Monday Night Football. Keep expectations low for that one. Lions only 3.5-point favorites right now, interesting enough. And then, of course, they go down to the desert for one last shot to get even at the Cardinals this year after the Cardinals beat the 49ers back in October of this year. So we'll get into that. My question is simply this. What have we learned about the 49ers this year? 888-957-9570. That's going to be the question we get into on the other side. What's coming up? The game is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. The Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. That is BayAreaOilChange.com. Baldy, Niners, your calls on the other side.